timely study, and it's on the critical spirit. But last week was pretty tight. Amen. I saw some of you looking like we were just got shot out of a race car, a race cannon. So this week's not going to be quite that way. This week's going to be a lot gentler. Praise God. We've already got the heavy stuff out, kind of. We got some more heavy coming right now. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. You take those two right there, and I don't want y'all arguing while we're over the paper while we're trying. No. Oh, that's funny. No, I started to put a picture just for you. Matter of fact, I put the picture on the board up there. Don't forget the Democratic debate tonight. It's on CNN. Actually, I don't really want to watch it, but I'm going to watch it anyway. I can tell you what it's going to be. You got a socialist, and then you got Hillary, and you may have somebody else, and everybody's going to talk about how great I am, how great I am. That's why Ben Carson, the surgeon. Okay, I'm not coming through up there. Sister Dorothy can't hear me. Check, check, check. Can you hear me? Is that just your? Okay, brother, can you get her a speaker, get her a battery? He's going to come in here and do a pit stop for you. Ben Carson, I saw a news flash just before service. Ben Carson is catching up strongly with Donald Trump. Matter of fact, it said the headlines, Ben Carson gives Donald Trump a run for his money. And so, Well, I got to watch out. I have a critical spirit before I leave this place here. All right, here we go. Critical spirit, confronting the heart of a critic. Well, we read the whole chapter of Job 1 and 2 last week, so I'm not going to read the whole thing again, but we are going to pray. Father, I ask you right now, Lord, to bless this offering of your word to the people. I ask you right now, Lord, this study be great for us to learn, that we can actually take this and use it in a very powerful way. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And church said, amen. And help us not be critical about it. Ready? Confronting the heart of a critic. All right. These are just a couple of slides, just so in case you weren't here, you can see it. And plus, it'll keep you kind of going. I'm not reading the whole chapters again, but Job's wife, after he had lost everything he owned and then lost his own body to sores, she said, curse God and die. Those words spew out of the mouth of an embittered wife, stunned by tragedy. Everything was gone. Everything. Y'all say everything. Everything was gone. And they didn't realize that it was a result of God allowing Satan to test her godly husband in order to prove his faith. They didn't see what was going on. That's why we have to be very careful how we're so quick to judge people when we see them under trial. We have to be very careful how we judge, period, because you never know what the driving force is behind that person's actions. That person actually could be under attack by Satan. That person actually, I've gone to the hospital before over the years. I remember going to the hospital before with somebody because their blood pressure was high, and I had just checked mine, and mine was 20 points higher than theirs, and they were in the emergency room. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm sitting there, I got a headache, you know, and I'm praying for them, and at the same time, I'm not being critical at all. Not a bit. I'm just saying is that, you know, you never know. You never know. Somebody said, well, why are you looking so funny? Well, I got my blood pressure is 20 points higher than yours, and you're laying on the bed. The rescue squad carried you in here. I drove up here, you know. And so again, you never can tell what people are thinking or what they're doing or the battles that they're fighting. If somebody may come up to you and you think they're mad at you or they're not even thinking about you, not realizing they just got a call on the way up from a child that says, "Daddy, I'm thinking about just quitting my job and quitting everything and just leaving my wife and leaving everything." And then you go up there and you're having to talk to somebody else, and they think you're mad at them or you're not really concerned about them, not realizing they just got some of the worst news. You know, I remember watching a guy went and talked to him. I thought, "Have I done something to you?" His wife had just told him she didn't love him anymore. But see, I was so, what have I done? I hadn't done anything. The problem was he was looking like that because she had just told him that she didn't love him anymore. And so now he's trying to carry that burden on him. And so again, we got to be careful because we always assume we know what people are thinking and how people are coming on to us. And so here's Job's wife and friends after he's done the devil. God has allowed him. But he submits himself to the sovereignty of God by declaring, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. May the name of the Lord be praised." All right, but curse God and dies, her reply, after seeing her husband suddenly stricken, afflicted from head to toe with painful sores, she observes this once respected man, so revered in the community, now he's sitting in a pile of ashes, scraping his sores with jagged pottery, trying to get a little bit of relief. Doctors said, that's read this, said that his temperatures were up to 105 or higher. And he's trying to get some type of relief. And she doesn't want to hear one more word of a devotion from him. And so the critical spirit consumes his wife. Remember last week we talked about it. We always get so upset with her not realizing she was going through the same thing he was. She lost her land. She lost her possessions. She lost her children. She had lost the same thing he had. The only thing was she didn't have her body eat up with sores. But I can tell you something. It hurts me a lot worse to see my wife sick than it does to see me sick. So think about that. She's having to watch him sick. She's watching all this stuff. But the difference is, he turns to God, and she turns away from God. Okay, there's the difference. She gets the critical spirit. She turns away from God. He turns to God. And you can always tell in the situation which way the person's turning. If they're turning to God, they may, through tears and even through anger, they will get down, they'll praise God, and they'll say, "Thank you, God," anyway. Somebody that's turned to the bitter spirit or the critical spirit, they'll lay a tongue lashing on God and everybody else all around them and say, "You have no idea what I'm going through. I'd rather you just get out of my face." And it may be a temporary critical spirit, which I've seen many times, or it may be a long-lasting critical spirit, a chronic critical spirit, and you can't even talk to them. The best thing to do when a person has a critical spirit is just leave them alone. Pray for them and leave them alone, because if you try to confront a person with a critical spirit, guess who loses? Both of you. So it's better off, at least with the person with the critical spirit, they already got that poison in them. If you confront and you try to handle them and you don't know how, or they don't want to be confronted or comforted, then what's going to happen is they're going to spew that deadly poison onto you, and both of you are going to walk away with a critical spirit. Or one's going to walk away wounded while the other one still has that critical spirit because they are wounded. So sometimes it's better just say, "I'm praying for you," and walk away. Don't go. Don't go. Look, don't do this. Speak to the hand. You know, but just go. You know, just go. "You know what? I'm praying for you. I love you. I'm praying for you. And I'll be back later." Okay? Because what you're doing, don't show the person. You can't show that person what they're showing you. Okay? Yeah. Well, every case is different. Every case is different. You got to watch. You got to watch. Some cases, you can know. If you know the person, if you don't know the person at all, sometimes it's better just to walk away. Because if you don't know the person at all, you don't know their motives or how or a record. You don't have a history. Right. But if they've got, that's why I say, if you're not equipped, back off. Because if you're not equipped, you're going to get whooped. You know what I'm saying? Somebody wants help. But when they're reaching out with a critical spirit, what happens is when you try to help somebody with a critical spirit and you don't know how to respond to what they're dishing out, then you're just going to flame the fire. You're going to fuel the fire, and it's going to wind up being bad. So if you know how to respond, I don't run from a critical spirit, but I have enough. I know when I've done what I can do, and it's not working, I'll back off, because again, I don't want it to wind up being something that hurts everybody. Makes sense. That's right. That's right. Okay.
Amen. Christians. Don't hear. They don't hear.
Well, sometimes, all right, it's like this. I know. Right. But sometimes people are not, listen, they're not equipped. There's times when I'm fighting my own battles, and I'm coming in and somebody comes at me and I'm thinking, this is not the best time for me to be trying to handle that problem. And so I'll say, can we talk about it later? Or it's like this, a drowning man cannot help another drowning man. Well, not necessarily. Yeah, go ahead. That's what I'm just telling about. I'm not equipped. That's what I just said. You tell them, I'll pray for you. I love you and I pray for you. It's like this. I've got people in my family that I hold very dear to me. I love them very dearly. But I cannot, if they want, I've got some very close people in my family that I can't, if I said the sky is blue and they look out and see it's blue, they're going to say it's not. If I say it's green or some other people in my family say it's green and it's not, it's blue, they say, no, it's green. You know, and so what I've learned is, choose your battles wisely. Not only choose your battles wisely, but if I'm not equipped to handle that because I'm too close to them, then what I do is I'll say, look, I got some things I got to do at the house, you know. I'm not talking about that. I know, but not everybody. That's right. Right, right.
That's, and if you can help me, tell me. Because that's what I see in today's world. Those that have, they will be.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's you and I sit down. We'll talk about it. You know, I've never. I'm,
you're so busy that I don't want to bother
I always let you come in. I never. Sister, have I ever turned you down? Have I ever turned you down? I know, but I always have time for you. I've always had time for you. Always. Okay, let's move on. Let's move on. All right. Critical spirit. The Bible's not silent about those who have a critical spirit, those who sit in their judgment seat looking down arrogantly on others. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister, or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. Romans 14:10. A critical spirit is an excessively negative attitude characterized by harshness in judging. Criticizers judge others severely and unfavorably. Hypercritical people judge others with unreasonable, strict standards, and fault finders look for and find flaws and defects with nagging and unreasonable criticism. So get ready. It's getting ready to get better now. I know y'all looking like, is it ever going to get better? Here it goes. There it goes. Critical spirit. Now we're switching up to, we're going back to the New Testament now. Peter is actually being called of God. He's seen a vision. He's been called of God to minister to the Gentiles. All right? The Jews were having a big problem back in this day because the Jews were trying to figure out, did you have to be circumcised? In the Old Testament new birth was actually circumcision. That was the sign of the covenant, circumcision. Now, in the New Testament, the sign of the new birth is being born again. All right? So there's the difference. New Testament, being born again, you're having the flesh peeled away, you're born of the Spirit. But in the Old Testament, it was the circumcision, and the Jews could not wrap their head around they did not have to be circumcised anymore in order to be saved. So here, certain circumcised Jewish believers unjustly criticized Peter for fellowship with the uncircumcised. The issue of circumcision, was it necessary for salvation, created a sharp division in the early church. And then the Jerusalem Council had to meet and say what it was necessary for salvation and what was necessary to be in the church. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him. Acts 11 and 2. Criticism comes from the word, yes. Yes. The covenant, sign of the covenant, yes. But Jesus dying on the cross is our sign of the covenant. And so they actually, their flesh had to be tore. But in the New Testament, Jesus' flesh was tore on that cross. And so in the Old Testament, the circumcision was a sign of the covenant of God and being part of his family. Now we're circumcised in our heart, not in our flesh, but now we're circumcised in our heart. So that you hear the Bible talking in the New Testament, circumcision of the heart. Okay, so criticism comes from the word kritikos or critical, and it means able to discern or skilled in judging. Now I want you to watch this. Criticism has two different meanings here, and I want you to watch this. Now this stuff here, now some of this you're going to have on your paper. Two meanings. Speaking fairly with discernment in regard to merit or value, like a literary critic is expected to give a fair critique by accurately analyzing, judging, and reporting. Matter of fact, we can even call this discerning. God's called us to discern, not to judge. So, what's the difference in discerning and judging? Discerning is actually analyzing accurately, understanding the situation. We can judge a tree or tell a tree by the fruit it bears. That is discernment. But then there's the judgment where you actually say, that person's going to hell. I know they are. God told us not to do that. Speaking unfairly with trivial, harsh judgments, a person with a critical spirit gives unfair criticism by fault-finding, nitpicking, and quibbling. So now, the Bible stresses the powerful impact of our right and wrong words. The tongue has the power of life and death. So it's very critical that we think about what we say before we say it. Watch what you say. And so there's many times when somebody's asking me something, I'll say, can I get back to you? Can I research it more? Can you give me a moment to think about it? Can I pray about it? Because I don't want just to jump up and go, yes, no, right, wrong, when maybe in my mind I think right and wrong might be, yeah, but after I get reading, I find out, wait, okay. So again, we got to be careful about our right and wrong words. So here we go. Joe's friends initially demonstrate a caring spirit. I mean, they're coming to help. They're there with them. They're showing the compassion. They're showing empathy. They're showing sympathy, compassion, the words we've been talking about. But now, they're demonstrating a caring spirit, reflecting the deep, attentive love of God in the midst of suffering. But then misguided pride that accompanies a critical spirit consumes them to the degree that they're more concerned with delivering theological points than showing desperately needed compassion. That's why it's necessary, if we feel like when somebody's talking to us or we're trying to help someone, you know, it's like I got upset one day because somebody almost knocked me over with their car, almost hit me with their car, and they pulled into a handicapped parking space, and the guy had to be 25 years old, jumped out and ran into the drugstore. And I said, he almost hit me. And now he's parking in a handicapped spot. What ails him? Then I found out his baby had a fever of 104, and the doctor said, get him this medicine now. And if there's only place he could find was that parking space, and he goes in to get the medicine, and he comes back out and he leaves. Now, isn't there a difference? I see a whole different ballgame now. Now what I see is a man trying to save his child. The start with, I thought it was just some kid trying to, you know, do his thing. You know, I'm a bad dude and I can park where I want to. No, that's not what it was at all. And then the other day I was riding down the road and this guy passed me so fast. I mean, he about pulled my side mirror off. And we're going 264 and I see him just a flying. And I'm talking to Daniel on my phone. I said, Daniel, somebody is in a hurry. He says, what's going on, Dad? And I said, there's this guy. I said, he's flying through the place like he's lost his mind. And I said, I got a feeling. I looked down the road a little ways. I saw blue lights. I said, I think I know somebody happened to get him a ticket. And he said, Dad, if that man's got a medical emergency, he's got a kid hurt or something, they're going to tell him to go on. He said, I've done it as a deputy. I've done it all, many times. Is when I find out that it's legitimate, that's a go. And so by the time I got pulled up to him and I saw the man talking to him, next thing I know, the guy took off again, still flying. So again, there was a medical emergency. Now, and Daniel said one night he was going through Chocolinity, and he said, the guy, there were two instances. One, Daniel was undercover. Daniel had a ticket book. Daniel hadn't written a ticket in a year. Daniel's riding through Chocolate late at night, and this guy comes flying through. So Daniel pulls him over. And the guy gets smart with him, very smart with him. And he didn't have a good reason why he was flying like that through a 35. And so Daniel said, Daddy, I hadn't written a ticket in over a year. Guess what I did that night? I wrote a ticket. But then he goes through, and there's a car passes him flying through Chocolate. And so Daniel pulls him, and he says, sir, he said, do you realize how fast you were going? He said, sir, do you realize who I am? And so Daniel says, no, but you're getting ready to find out. And the man gave Daniel a card and said, call that number on the back of this card. So Daniel sees the U.S. government. So Daniel goes back and finds out it's a Navy SEAL had just been called in to go on a mission. And so Daniel looked at him and said, have a good night, sir. Be safe. You know, so again, we don't understand everything. We see things and thinking one thing or think another. I saw somebody one time, I said, I wish they'd quit staring at me. Man, I wish they'd quit staring at me. I'm like, y'all, this ain't funny, but it is, okay? I wish they'd quit staring at me. And then I was backed over there seeing eye dog. They couldn't even see me. They just had their eyes set, and I just happened to be in the way. You know, so I'm trying to say is, so you don't understand. You know, so again, that critical spirit, I know, here it goes. You got to throw one out there. I know, like the man walked in the bar and picked up his dog. And I'd
come over and try to give you a piece of candy to see
what you do. Yeah, that's right, the kick. I have cousins over there.
I mean, you can just like David, just know. Except for Abraham.
get over there and ask you who it was that got gone, I'm going to go say, are you going to get it over
there? But here you go. But okay, so look. So when you get this critical spirit, all of a sudden now you've gone from helping people to now, and I've seen people do this, and it drives me up the wall. Now all of a sudden they are the authority. You know, there's some people not in here, not even in this church, but I have a couple of guys that when they call me, they'll say, can I just talk to you for 5 minutes? And I know good and well that we're getting ready to have an hour and a half conversation. And the hour and a half conversation, I say about 5 words. And he spends the whole hour on something preaching to me. Preaching. And I'm going, dude, I'm your friend. Let's just talk about fishing. Talk about, you know, you're going to preach at me. And so again, and he's not being critical. It's just, you know what I'm saying? So this stuff is not cut and dry. It's just not all black and all white all the time. You gotta have discernment from God. Again, there's that discerning of the Spirit. So you can't be so busy trying to be so theologically correct that you forget that people have feelings and they hurt. The Bible has much to say about pride, including God's heart toward it. I hate pride. I hate arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. Proverbs 8:13. So, what is a caring spirit? One of our deepest needs for someone is to care is for someone to care about us. Our successes, our failures, our strengths, our weaknesses, our likes, our dislikes, our joys, our sorrows. How blessed we are when we have people with caring spirits in our life. Now, again, you've got to have discernment because sometimes it's not a caring spirit. Sometimes it's just people wanting to know everything. So you're going to have to ask God to show you, God, are they really caring about me or are they just trying to get some more ammunition? You know, so again, here it is. Here. But how much more secure we feel when we come to know the breadth, the depth of God's love and care for us. I pray that you be rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Ephesians 3:17-19. Caring means giving watchful or painstaking attention based on desiring what is best for others. To care means to be, watch this, thoughtfully attentive or protective, personally interested in or feeling affection towards someone, actively involved in doing what is best for another person. So the one who created you gives you loving, watchful care towards you. You know, one of my favorite things I've said over the years is I'll have people tell me, well, I was sick and nobody called me. I was in the hospital and nobody visited me. And I'll go, well, I know that they were in the hospital and they were sick. Did you call them? Did you visit them? And they go, wait a minute. And I go, no. And this has nothing to do with what you just said at all. I'm just saying is, when people say, they didn't come see me, they didn't visit me in the hospital, and I'll say, well, they were in the hospital, or somebody's in the hospital, and they told me the same thing. You know, so again, when we get hurt, we can be critical, and then sometimes we need to stop and think, you know, well, wait a minute. Did I go see people when they were sick? Did I care about them when they needed, you know? And so important that we take the same measure for ourselves that we do for other people. It's got to be together. We got to do it on the same on the same level, because if we don't, we'll find that. Because remember, we judge ourselves. All right, I had somebody in my family, very dear to me. His brother was having a surgery that could kill him. If he didn't have surgery, he would die. With the surgery, it could kill him. This person lived on the other side of Raleigh. Both of them did. This person called me to pray for his brother, who in the hospital was less than 30 minutes from him. I was 5 hours away. And they wanted to know if I would drive up and see him. And I said, oh, why don't you drive over? It's only 30 minutes for you. And they said, well, when I was sick, you didn't come see me. And I went, what? This is crazy. And so I just called the guy 5 hours away, and I prayed for him and said, if you want me up there, I'll come up there, but I'm calling. And I did. And I just honestly could not believe I was hearing that come from that person's mouth. You know, well, they didn't come see me when I was sick. And so now the brother could die. I mean, they told him he could die. They were going to cut him all the way. They're going to cut him from down here low all the way up, and had to go inside and do all kinds of stuff inside of him. And they said that the only reason they're doing it is because if they didn't, he'd die. And so he didn't die. But the point I'm trying to make is, you know, again, when that critical spirit starts taking over, we all of a sudden forget about anything we've done, and all we can think about is somebody else. And so we got to kind of ask God to help us keep on the bubble, keep on the level, you know. And even to this day, I even talked to that person not long ago, and I said, you got another brother that lives across the street dying. Go see him. And he said, he knows where I'm at. Right. And so again, and when I hear that, my heart cringes. And I'm not kidding. All I can see in my mind is God shedding a tear. You know. Oh, that too. I mean, I understand that. Well, I can understand that. I'm playing with you, Stephen. Oh, I know, because Linda, when Linda's got her fibromyalgia, she'll say to the grandkids, can we come see you, Gammy? And Linda will say, look, y'all, I'm really, really hurting really, really bad, if you don't mind. You know, and she had a flare-up this weekend. But she was coming. She was going to still try to come to church Sunday morning, but she'd been hurting for 2 days. Her fingers were swelled. Her feet were swollen. And she left early from work or something. It was just, she was bad off, really bad off for 2 days. And then, but bless her heart, in the middle of all that, she gets a text from somebody in West Virginia that she didn't even know. That they had found her through some of her counseling she had done with some other people. And so, and she was sitting there hurting, but for 2 hours, she counseled somebody that was so depressed and somebody that was so out, over not talking. She would just type because that person let her know, you know. And so again, you know, everything's different. It'd be so cool if we all had if we live right next door to each other and we could see, you know, I know that something's not right. Let me go check it out. You know, but we don't. We live such fast lives that we don't. So it's very important that we learn to get beyond critical and get to caring, because if we don't, it just starts a big old hairy mess. Why does mankind, that you're mindful of them, son of man, that you care for him? You made them a little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor. Hebrews 2:6-7. So now, caring people. Here's about caring people, and it's on your thing here too. And I'm trying to hurry up. Caring people are genuinely interested in showing concern for others. The Good Samaritan took care of the savagely beaten traveler. He, a Samaritan, went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Luke 10:34. Paul cared for the new Christians in their faith. We were like young children among you, just as a nursing mother cares for her children. 1 Thessalonians 2:7. The Christians at Philippi sent a brother to care for the needs of Paul, but I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. He almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. So now, that's the caring spirit. God wants us to be caring. And so, like I said, next week it's going to go to another level. But again, this week I'm going to give you a challenge. I'm going to challenge you, no matter what level you're on, if you're low level or if you're high level, in caring for folks and showing it. Remember, I talked about it Sunday night. Sunday night we talked about it. You can tell me all day long, 6 months from now, that you were praying for me when I was going through that. But I'd much rather hear it when I'm going through it. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times what I found out is, I honestly think people are just, you know, sometimes I think, why won't DC and Daniel's friends, or why won't these neighbors or whoever, you know, come and talk to me? They act like I got the plague sometimes. Then I had to stop and realize it's because when they see, it'd be like they had a fountain too. As soon as somebody say, oh, you better watch it, he's a pastor. Or there's Reverend Linton. All of a sudden, it was like I had leprosy. They were scared. Yeah, none of that. But when I'm going through something, a lot of times people are scared to even try to even say anything to them because they say, well, what can I say? You know, what can I say to him? I mean, he does this all the time. So what do I say to him? And so I've learned to, when I'm sick or when I'm going through something, or a lot of times I'll be going through something and nobody even know it. You know, there was two times here I preached after surgery after the doctor told me not to, and I paid heavy for it. And that day we had the wreck. They were telling me not to go to church. I went to church and preached. And the next day, I was in the emergency room for 8 hours. You know, but you know, I don't tell anybody. And I'm not pinning pins on me. I'm trying to say is I'm not holding anything against anybody because, number one, I didn't tell them. Or number two, if I did tell them, I don't think anybody understood, you know, because unless you've been going in a car 55 miles an hour and a guy hits you going 60 miles an hour and y'all hit head on and you spin in a curve, spin around the road 190 feet, you know, it's hard to understand when everything's in your head going woo woo. You know, I never understood it until it happened to me. You know, wow. You know, and then I realized how close I come to dying. But did I tell anybody? No. Again, I'm not saying that to pin any medals on me at all. I'm saying is personal experience tells me that if I'm not careful, any of us, we can get a critical spirit. We all can. There's not a, you know, there's two things. When you're counseling, there's two things they warn against for counselors and pastors and ministers and Christians. And here it is. I'm going to take it all the way down. If you help people any whatsoever, there's two dangers. The first danger is taking on their symptoms. Okay? You get so involved in what they're doing, all of a sudden you start taking on their symptoms. You start feeling the same sickness they've got. You start feeling the same stuff. And when that happens, you got to disassociate. You got to back away, because if you don't, it's not going to be good. Secondly, and I've never had that happen, praise God. But then secondly, burnout. Okay? You hear stuff so much that honestly, it burns you out. And it may look like you're not caring. It's not that you're not caring. It's just that at that moment of burnout, you can't handle it. You know what I'm saying? I can tell when I'm burnt out. It's like when my children were young. I knew when I could discipline, when I couldn't discipline. What's that, Em? Right. Right. Well, that's fine. You don't have to agree. I'm just saying is there's times when somebody else is burnt out, they're better off at times, because they may give you some bad advice or they may attack back. And that's the burnout. And when that burnout happens, it is better, because that happens to doctors, it happens to nurses, it happens to caregivers. It definitely happens to caregivers. I you will not believe the caregivers has told me that we're dealing with chronic illnesses. Tell me, say, look, I feel so ashamed of myself because I feel so bad because I feel so ill, you know, and I go, it's okay. Chill. It's okay. It's called burnout. Yeah. We all get that. We're all human. Go ahead, sister. Oh, yeah, if you hear it all the time, you can. My wife could tell me when I was at Procter & Gamble, I worked with a guy that was so critical and so negative, and nothing ever went right. And she could tell when I've been working with him all day, and then when I've been working with some contractors who were just, they were just the most positive guys. And I, where I live at, behind my house is a woods, and I would walk back half a mile about there to pray. And Beverly would tell me when I come home, she could look at my face and she'd go, go back there and pray. And I go, why? She said, you've been with this other guy all day, hadn't you? I said, how can you tell? And she goes, I can tell. Go on back there and pray. Don't even come back in here till you've prayed. And, yeah. What person? There's a time where the best thing you can do for a person is to pray for them. I didn't mean it forever. Oh yeah.
In the same situation, and I talk to them, it may be very hard. I wasn't the only one.
Of course, that's good stuff.
And so we communicate. I'm always going to help anybody.
Of course. That's a caring spirit.
I don't care what time it is. I don't care. I'm going to help that person. And I don't have a lot of education. I have a lot of money. I don't have a lot of anything. But I'm going to help that person.
Oh, yeah.
And that.
Right. Well, that's not exactly all we're talking about, because if I go come upon a person that's been abused, I'm going to jump right in there and do something. If I see somebody, as the Bible tells us in James, if you say see a man's cold and you got two coats and you tell him, go be warm and I'll pray for you, that's wrong. Right.
Because everybody's not gifted in the same way. You're gifted in that. You are gifted in helping people. Not everybody's gifted in
that. And that makes me gifted.
No. No, it makes you gifted.
Right. It's like. Well, see, and it's like. That's right. And it's like this, Kitty. All right, when I come upon somebody that has a sick wife, or I come upon somebody that has lost their wife, I just hone right into them. It's just right there. But I can tell you, there's some guys I've talked to, it was a blessing for me to be there, and it was awesome. And we got a chance to minister, and I got a chance to tell them it's going to be okay, especially after their wife had just died. But then there's been times where I've gone in, and the guy tell me, look, dude, best thing you can do right now is leave me alone. And when the man tells me the best thing I can do is leave him alone. Yeah, but that's what I'm. Oh, of course. Oh, yeah. I'm always giving food or giving help or giving a hand. I'm not talking about turning away that way. We're talking about somebody with a critical spirit. Somebody comes at you with a critical spirit, just like that man. His wife had died, and he's like Job's wife. He's turning away from God at that time. He don't want to hear it. That was a minister. He was my overseer. He got caught up in some bad stuff and wound up losing his license. He lost his family. He lost everything. I've been praying for that man. I wanted so bad to get around him and just love him, because I knew somebody needed to love him. And 2 or 3 years later, somebody told me that they had seen him and gave me his number. And I called him up. And I didn't call him by his first name. I called him brother and by his last name, like I always did as respect, because he was my elder and he was my overseer. And when I called him, I said, brother so-and-so, I said, I just want to let you know that there's some people out here that still love you and care and do anything for you. I'll do anything if you just let me know. I'll do it day or night, 24/7. You know what he told me? He said, I want you to do me a favor. And he started cussing. And he told me, he said, I don't want you ever to pick up that phone and call me again. Right. So I'm trying to say is everything's not black and white. That's what I was trying to say. It's not black and white. And so you know what, though? I found out later that about 5 years later, the Lord did get a hold of him, and he's back preaching again. And I can't wait to get a hold of him so I can love on him. You know what I'm saying? And say, I'm glad that you're back with God. And then I've had some guys that told me, just leave me alone. And then later on, they call me and say, you know what? I was hasty when you were offering help. I was hasty, or I didn't think you knew what you were talking about. Now I realize you did. So now can we go back and revisit that? I'm not talking about it. If I go out there and there's somebody out there and they don't have a coat and it's 40 degrees outside, 30 degrees, the guy ain't got a coat, got nowhere to stay, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to get him a coat. I'm going to get him somewhere to stay. I'm going to take care of him. If he's hungry, I'm going to feed him. You know, always. People come up, you know, what bothers me is with the feeding part, and that is nowadays, like, everybody's on a corner saying homeless. Yeah. You know? Yeah, and so people are getting so burnt out when seeing that guy homeless, and the guy's been homeless for 3 years, you know, and then when you get the money, he goes in Walmart and he's buying beer and cigarettes. or driving a nice car, a big old nice car comes and picks him up. And so, again, it's wisdom. But I tell people all the time, they say, look, I'm hungry, man. I was on the way to the hospital, 12 o'clock one night, no, 11 something, on the way to the hospital to the emergency room. Somebody called me. They didn't even go to our church. They called and said, they don't have a pastor. Can you please come? They got a child that's sick. They need somebody. I said, okay. So on the way up, I was really, really tired because I'd been in New Bern that day, Greenville, Washington, somewhere else, and I was really tired. So I stopped at Starbucks on the way to the hospital just to grab a coffee to kind of help get me kicking in. And this guy comes up to me, and he follows me out to my car. He says, how do I get to such and such a place? And is it a long walk? And I said, well, it's right over there. You just walk right up there. And I said, if I was not having to go to the emergency room, I'd take you, but I got to go. And then I could smell the alcohol on his breath. He said, I'm not from around here. Somebody just dropped me off here. He said, can I have $10, $15 for food? And I said, no. I said, but let's go inside. And I said, pick anything you want. Of course, Starbucks is very proud of their food. Very proud. A little sandwich is $5. You know, so he picked out $10 or $15 worth of food. And I said, now, is that going to settle you right now? He said, yes. I said, now I'm in a hurry. I've got to get to the hospital. I said, but now I fed you. Now, and it's just about, you got to walk a block this way. You walk that block, you got food. And so I drove right to the hospital. Again, so not turning people away, it's just how you do it. But again, there's also people. I know, but there's also people that just do not know how to handle. I'm not talking about they can easily give you a can of soup. They can give you a can of soup, but they don't know how to give you comfort. There's people like that, and there's some people I honestly rather not give me comfort. I had a lady that I pastored at a church. She was my clerk, and here's how she told. Here's her comfort to everybody. They would come up and go, I just lost my job, and she would go, kid you not, you don't know nothing. I lost my job, and I was making $100,000 a year. Or you go, I just lost a finger. And she goes, you don't know nothing. I lost a whole hand. So I'd rather her not even try to help me. You know what I'm saying? Please don't come help me. I'd rather you just honestly tell me you're praying for me and go. You know, yeah. And so, again, and we never know what other people are going through at the same time either. So again, it's not black or white. And what I ask for is I ask for God to send me the right one to listen. You know what I'm saying? Send me the right one to listen. Because watch this. Do you know every last one of you in here? All right? There's times, every last one of you, there's times you might not even known it. You said the perfect thing at the perfect time. You know what I'm saying? But then there's other times I could have talked to everybody and nobody said it but you, whichever one it was at the time. And so what I've learned is I say, God, send me the right one to talk to. Because if I talk to 10 or 15 people and I got 10 or 15 different answers, I got 10 or 15 different viewpoints, I got 10 or 15 different theologies, so God send me the right one to talk to. I'd rather have one right one to talk to than 25 clutter. And so again, you know, it's not black or white. And I try to learn to cut people some slack. You know, and I don't look at it, I reckon because I've been in it so much, I'm in it all the time. And it's like, I'll be in the grocery store, and once somebody finds out I'm a pastor, all of a sudden, I mean, you got a few minutes? Yeah. Oh, can you come out and stand in my car? And Linda will tell me, she says, look, when you go to Walmart or when you go to Food Lion, do me a favor. I say, what? She say, put a bag over your head. And I say, why? She said, because you're going to wind up talking to 10 or 15 people. You're going out doing all kinds of things. He said, and supper's ready. You know, and so again, and then Linda will do the same thing. She'll go, and here it is. You know, it just go. So again, it's not black or white. If it was black, it would be so cool if it was black or white. But it's not, because God in His infinite mercy and His infinite knowledge, God send me, I'd rather have one with wisdom and knowledge to handle my situation. And you know what? On any given day, it could be either one of y'all that's got that word. And that's the one I want to talk to that day. And the rest of you, hey, praise God, all that. But you know what? That one person, that day. So again, I don't look at quantity. I look at quality. All right? And that's why if I can't spend the time I need to spend with you, I'll say, can we make an appointment? Can we talk about it tomorrow? You know, can we do something? And it's called an emotional band-aid. Do you want an emotional band-aid or do you want surgery? Which one you want? You want an emotional band-aid, then we can talk now. I'm going to say, you know, I'm praying for you. You know, but I've got I'm on the way to the emergency room or you know, I've literally been called and had to, and they're telling me, we don't know how much longer they're going to live, but, and then say, I'm in the grocery store and hear it. And I go, I'll be right there, and get stopped on the way out of the grocery store. And I go, look, I got to go. I'm sorry. Or leave my bags right there, or tell them I'll come out and get them later. I'll be back, you know. And then I got stopped one day in New Bern. The man stopped me. I went from 45 to 35. I didn't even see the sign. I was on the way. Somebody was having a baby, and there was some conflict, and I was trying to get there before the conflict started. And I was going 46 in a 35. And the man stopped me, and he said, where are you going? I said, I'm on the way to the hospital. I didn't tell him about having a baby. I said, I'm on the way to the hospital. I got to see somebody. I have my pastor badge and everything. I said, there you go. He said, stay right here for just a minute, sir. He comes back. And he said, sign this. He gave me a ticket for 10 miles over. So I said, I didn't even see the sign change. He says, well, just do me a favor. Tell him I'm praying for him when you go. Yes, I was going to say is, you know, everything's not cut and dry. Everything's not black and white. It can't be. It's impossible. Your challenge is to, before you speak, to your spouse, to your family, to anybody, before you speak, I want you to stop and ask yourself, what is my motive for speaking to this person? What's my motive? Okay? But that's what I'm saying. What's my motive? Because you know what? I've gone on there, and DC and Daniel, bless their hearts, I've eaten them up. And they go, but Dad. And I go, what are y'all doing? And they go, Dad, and then after I hear what's going on, I'm going, wow, I feel bad. Let's all stand. Sister Dorothy, we all standing with you. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you for this night. Lord, it'd be so easy if it was all black and white, but it's not. And as time goes by, it gets even less and less black and white. Lord, help us to see, to know, to understand, and help us to honestly, Lord, help us, Lord, just to examine our own motives. And even not only our motives when we speak, but our motives when we receive. So that we don't get a critical spirit. In the name of Jesus, you're an awesome God and you're more than able. Help us to discern, Lord, not judge. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen.